Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. Geez, I can't get used to this. It is 2019 after all. And thanks for joining us. Dwayne Mullins is on the line as well, as always. And today, it's our fantasy special. It's been a few years, Dwayne, since we haven't got back into fantasy. We decided to give it a shot this year, encouraged by our playoff brackets last year. And we hope you all take a second to join our league. It doesn't matter if you're not good. It doesn't matter if you're not going to follow through the entire season. Join for week one and see what happens. How you doing, Dwayne?
I'm doing well, although I'm having trouble opening my team in the app here for some reason because it's telling me I can't view other teams until I start the season, Kevin. So that's go. See if I can figure this out.
Yeah, no, maybe you should get it on your laptop. But there has been some issues, by the way, with the fantasy login MLS Soccer has mentioned on their social media. But hopefully your team is set, or hopefully you're thinking of joining. And if you're listening by podcast, make sure you click the link in the description to join our league. Here's a brand new fantasy studio. The joy of having an internet show is I can change things. And this is my team. You can see the background. We'll talk about Dwayne's team. But before we go into names and teams, Dwayne, I want to give you my tactic, my big secret for Major League Soccer fantasy. It's not about the players. It's about the teams, and it's about who's facing whom every single weekend. And that's the justification behind a lot of players I've chosen. When you look, that I have three players from Montreal, three players from Seattle, and three players from Philly as well.
Look, yeah, that's not a bad plan, for sure. And I think if you talk to the people who are really into fantasy, and there certainly are a lot of them out there, that's what they do. It's you've got to be on top of it all the time if you want to win. Like, the person who wins MLS fantasy overall is going to be an obsessive mathy person, really, more than a soccer fan. Yeah. I take a different approach, Kevin. I tend to pick a team that I think I'll be happy with for the whole year, because I'd rather do it that way, because I don't want to do it day in, day out, but I will not win. So that's basically what it comes down to. But I do enjoy the process of going through and picking. And I do have a strategy of sorts when I do pick my team. I tend to like just value certain positions over others, and I tend to try and save money with the more defensive positions and try and spend on the big players. So I have Piatti on my team. I have Martinez on my team. I have Josie on my team. So that's kind of where I come down.
Here are the rules, simple rules, and not a lot of constraints. And that, I think, is good compared to years before. Maximum three players per team. You got $100 million. Every player from defenders to goalkeepers, midfielders, and forwards have a value from ranging from $11 million all the way to $3.5 or $4 million, depending on the position. And you can choose how many you spend on each player. If you want a Zlatan, it's going to cost you $11 million, or Lodero, and then you got less for the rest of the team. But 11 starters, you got a bench of five players, and unlimited transfers every week. I remember years ago, Dwayne, where we had a limited number of transfers, and you had like two or three unlimited weeks where people would just change their entire team. So that was a lot more complicated back then. Now, it's unlimited transfer. Week to week, if you're not happy with your team, you can change. You just clear your entire team and start a brand new team with, brand new players at least. And there's two season, I would say, Dwayne. It's like the Canadian Premier League calendar. You get the spring season and you get the fall season. So if you're really bad in the beginning, you still have a shot of winning the second season.
Yeah, I think that's the popularity. If you look at all those daily shows that are daily fantasy contests out there, that's kind of the idea of that is. And that's, I think, one thing that discourages a lot of people from playing fantasy, is because once you like get behind, it's like, well, why bother? And then that's less fun for the people that are in front, and so on and so forth. That said, I mean, yeah, The one issue, I'll talk candidly about this for a second. I do have a bit of a philosophical issue with fantasy games, not so much them in nature. I mean, as growing up, I was in hockey pools and a lot of things. I was invited to be part of a draft MLS pool this year, which I'm kind of interested in and looking forward to do, because that's kind of fun to me, the social aspect of it. But I think that people get too... It loses some of the sport of it, I think, in a lot of ways. It loses, like, you start cheering for players, and, like, I don't know. I'm a purist that way. I don't like to cheer against teams or cheer for a player rather than a team. I can't get into NFL fantasy for that very reason. I've talked to NFL fans out there that are, they don't have a team, but they watch NFL every week because they're, like, obsessed over whether
players do good or not.
Some guy got a pass reception, right? Like, ugh. I don't get it as a sports fan. I'm old that way. I'm not millennial enough, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. For me, what I find useful with fantasy, it makes you discover players that you don't necessarily think about on a day-to-day basis. Like picking players like defender Nelson from Dallas. I haven't thought about him ever. Let's be frank here. And Pomikal or other players that are periphery players, but because of the amount of money that they cost, and sometimes defenders in your fantasy will be where you decide to shortball players and $4 million for defenders, and you get to discover player. And for me, it gives me a bit more excitement for game that I'm not necessarily that excited to watch. And I guess with the fantasy, it's been a few years since we've done this once again, so I guess I'm going to be happy to watch on a morning or Sunday replay LAFC versus whoever, or just to see if my picks are good or not. So, no, I guess it's going to make me watch more MLS games, and that's just positive for this show, probably.
There you go. I am looking forward to, apparently the Canadian Premier League is going to have a fantasy league. Now that is going to be into the weeds.
Now that,
man.
I want to win. That I'm going to try to win, because I know the few players for the last 5 years. So, two more FC Montreal players signed yesterday. We'll talk about this later today on a special Wednesday edition of the Tucson Toots Soccer Podcast. Right? But fantasy, maybe we should start by just... talking. Well, first of all, join our league. If you want to join our league, the code is in the description, or here is a quick code that you can enter in the league codes to find us. V5AAUWDT. Write this in MLSsoccer.com fantasy, and you'll find our league. Join us, and Dwayne, we'll have prizes. There's prizes that I've been trying to give away for years. In my closet here, I have a soccer ball signed by Nacho Piatti and the 2017 Montreal Impact team. That is going to be up for grabs. Dwayne's got some swag, too. We'll figure out what to give away at the end of the season. But I think we can do maybe a prize for the winner of spring season and at least a prize for the winner of the fall season.
Fair enough. The I have a signed Orlando City jersey from the Orlando City team from 2017. Signed it when they were at BMO Field, so I have it. I can give that as way as there, because it's just sort of folded in my closet at the moment, so that's fine. We'll give some prizes out of this. You can have a free subscription to Soccer Today.
Hey, I can probably give a free subscription of the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast for a few months as a gift, too, if that's something that you'll be interested on. But
I met Soccer Today, though. It's already free.
Yeah, it's already free, though. It was like a joke. But I don't want people to feel cheated by us. So we'll do that. Let's start, Dwayne, by your thinking behind week one. You mentioned to me off-air that you've got three Montreal Impact players. So do I. They're facing San Jose Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. San Jose was a dumpster fire to be nice last year. We're expecting different this year, but it's a lot of changes with the new head coach and new players, and it's going to take a while for them to gel. Montreal's had a good training camp, but there seemed to be chemistry already between players. So you choosing three Montreal Impact players, me choosing three Impact players, tells me that we believe Montreal's going to beat San Jose in the opening game of both teams on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, look, MLS, you know, famously people say you can never know what the hell's going to happen in MLS till it happens, and you, so you never know. But yeah, for sure, you'd have to think that way. You can only go off last year. Piatti is my captain for week one.
Same here, and great minds think alike.
There you go. Look, It's actually only up two in the lineup. I thought it was three last night when I was doing it off air, but I do think that that's a good pick. I have the young fullback there, the Canadian fullback. I think that if he gets some time, that he might. I tend in the back line pick all fullbacks because you're going to get more points if they get into the offensive end of things. That's my thinking on that. So. Yeah. So there you go. He's also was cheap, $4 million. So that's part of it. But
defenders, yeah. Again, that's one of the place, the spots where you do save money because you need your strikers to be effective. You need your midfielders to be effective. And you need your goalkeeper to be effective because clean sheets and a lot of saves in a game brings a lot of points. You mentioned fullbacks. Yes, when fullbacks get points, it makes for high fantasy weeks. But when your center backs do get a clean sheet from the goalie as well, it does bring them a fair amount of points. So, but fullbacks, you're right, are good decisions when you're looking at your defenders.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the all-star team. You know, you're talking about week one strategies. Draw your own conclusion of the fact that I have Santos from Philadelphia on the forward line. So you can draw your own conclusion there.
Yeah, we'll get to my Philly players, but we agree. We agree.
Well, look, we'll touch on the CCL game in the second half of the show, but yeah, I also have Nick DeLeon from TFC on there. Again, he's listed as a defender rather than a winger, so I thought that was a little bit of value. But yeah, it's you got to think that way if you want to win these things. I have a good friend. Kevin Rollins, he has the same last name as me. He is in Ottawa. He runs MLS Fantasy for Kids. He's done that for years for his children, and they have taken well, and it's pretty successful. So I encourage you, if you have kids that want to get into the fantasy game, to check Kevin's site out. You can find him on Twitter at Older Golder.
Yeah,
Older
Golder. You can find the retweets on my feed as well, on your feed and on multiple feed. But yeah, Older.
Yeah, he finished top 100 in North America on MLS Fantasy and a couple times in the past. So he's really into this stuff. So yeah, and he changes his lineup constantly, right? Because that's how you win.
That's how you win. All right, let's start with our goalkeeper and make our way to finish with the forwards for our team for week one. We're not necessarily going to spend half an hour a week on fantasy. We might spend 5 to 10 minutes at least a week before each weekend games, the weekend, to talk about their team and what issues we're seeing and who's winning the league. We'll keep for sure a tally and a little news roundup of fantasy during the normal shows. But on Fridays, we're probably going to spend 5 minutes at least on fantasy to see what's happening. But let's start with your goalkeeper for week one, Dwayne.
Kansas City's
Tim Melia. Good choice. Tim Melia is one of the best goalkeepers in the league. And I would have picked the same if it wasn't for maybe the best goalkeeper in the league facing a team that's been struggling to score with only one goal in two games so far in the CONCACAF Champions League. Yes, Andre Blake of the Philadelphia Union in goal for his first game versus Toronto at noon on Saturday. And I am thinking of a clean sheet for Philly there. So that's why Philly is in the net for me, Andre Blake.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Jozy Altidore is out from that game. Certainly, if you looked at TFC last night, look, I mean, Jordan Hamilton got the goal. Other than that, it was a lot of possession without a lot of penetration. So, you know, that's maybe a good pick there, too. We'll move on. The back line, as I mentioned, DeLeon is listed as he's actually playing forward winger for Toronto. So they have him as a defender. So I think there's a little value in there. Anytime you've got a guy that's sort of mislisted, you might want to jump on that. So that's my pick there. I have Betashore in the lineup, I think, because I like Stephen Betashore.
And underrated player that last two times he switched teams that he left were not the same, and teams that he landed in were having a resurgence or a great beginning of history. So Betashore, yeah, I think he's an underrated player, and I think he's a good choice.
Yeah, well, I did. We haven't talked about it because it happened Friday night when Bill Manning met with the TFC supporter groups. I was live tweeting that, and he mentioned that losing Steve Betashore was a much bigger loss for them than they thought. And I retweeted that because I was tweeting the meeting live, and it got picked up. I was surprised. I thought that was kind of an offhanded comment, and it had more than 100 likes and 30 retweets by the end of the night, right? So that says a lot of people believe in Stephen Betashore.
It's one of two tweets that got Dwayne famous in the weekend. The other one was a Pozuelo Watch tweet that landed him in a Belgian newspaper.
And the Toronto Sun, apparently. I didn't see
that.
The
Toronto Sun. I did not see that.
Yeah. So, yes.
Well, there you go. We'll actually have a second half of this show where we're going to touch on news to make up for yesterday. But let's continue with your backline.
Sinovec from Kansas City, again, that was a KC pick. Defenders, like, again, you get points for clean sheets. He may, that's a low-risk player, really, in that pick. And then I have TMG from the Impact, again, young player, cheap player. I wanted to save money in the back line. I don't know if he's going to play or not, but if he does, then there's a chance that I might get some points out of that.
Yeah, we'll see if he plays, but he's going to play with Fury because he's in Ottawa. So I would change that pick if I were you quickly. Because he's one of those type of players, like others in this fantasy, that has moved on from the league and not removed from the fantasy pool.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that he had been loaned out. So, yes, that's good for me to pay attention to that stuff.
Well, but you still have time to change your team. That's the beauty of doing this on Wednesday and not Saturday morning.
All right. Well, there you go. I'll change him right now. I'm going to put an LAFC defender in. Yeah, there we have it.
There you go. All right, so for me and backline, the same thinking. Philly, for me, is a team of predilection for week one because they're playing Toronto, Montreal playing San Jose, Seattle is playing Cincinnati, and Dallas is playing New England. So that's my thinking. Those four teams, I want to make sure they're represented well in my fantasy team for week one because I believe those four teams are going to have an easier time versus their opponent than other teams in the league. So for me,
I won't fight you too hard on the complete crapping on TFC right yet, but we'll get to that.
It's
eventually.
Week one.
I think
look,
people are sleeping on them a little bit.
Yes, but Philly has done great moves. So for me, it's not necessarily just Toronto aspect. Philly can be dangerous this year. We'll talk about
it
Friday.
I do have their Santos on the front line, so there you go.
All right, my back line, starting with Nelson from Dallas, a $4 million defender. He's starting for me on left back, but that doesn't matter. Raymond Gattis, a defender for Philly, 4.5. Austin Trusty, 5.5 million, another defender for Philly. And I have Bakary Sagna. And there's the averages of points. And for Sagna has a big average, 5 points average here. So for me, Bakary Sagna, he's $6 million. He's my highest paid defender, but he's a fullback. We all know Bakary Sagna. He has a great offensive mentality for a fullback, and he can create great things with the ball. So that's one of the reasons why I chose Bakary Sagna, Austin Trusty, Raymond Gattis, and Nelson from Dallas as my starting back line for week one.
Fair enough. All right. Shall we move to the midfield?
Let's move to the midfield. Let me just move my screen here. You can start with your midfield, Wayne, while I adjust mine.
All right. So I'm high on LAFC this year. You'll learn that on Friday when we do our prediction show. So I have Perez Alvarez from across the city. Both of those are $5 million players, so a little on the cheaper end because I spent a little bit of money on the other two midfielders, Kaku and Piatti.
Kaku's an interesting decision because of all that happened in the offseason. So if he comes motivated, it could be a great, great, great pick. And if not, his salary might drop because there's a few adjustments during the season. And if he's not playing well, his salary might go down. So it might be a really good value pick further down the season.
I believe that he's going to be a motivated player because he's obviously wanted to move to Club America, but you know, I think the Red Bulls were smart to get him under contract because he is such an important part of that team. And now that with Adams moving on, that they have to sort of readjust their format, I think they're going to be doubly dependent on him to generate things. So I do think that the Red Bulls are always a safe bet up late, and that's why I went with him. And Piatti, obviously, is Piatti combined with San Jose, and I did make him my captain, as I said earlier.
Okay, let's move to my midfield. My midfield cost me a lot of money. I'll start with Pomykal, $6 million midfielder for Dallas. They're playing New England. He doesn't have the highest average, but they're playing New England. So anyone playing New England will probably get a lot of love from me this year, as every year, because it's New England. All right, Pomykal. Nicholas Lodero, Seattle player. That's a great choice. He could have been my captain, too. They're facing Cincinnati expansion team. It's never pretty, the first game of an expansion team, maybe outside of LAFC. But I feel Cincinnati's a breed between a Cincinnati. Cincinnati's is like a mixed breed of a Minnesota and an Atlanta, maybe closer to Minnesota. So it might be difficult in game number one, especially against Seattle. So I have Nicklas Odero in my midfield, as well as Gustav Svensson from Seattle. Those two players can make a lot of splash in week one versus Cincinnati. And my captain, Nacho Piatti, as well. My midfield can be very prolific on day one. If things go according to my plan, which means if Cincinnati and New England struggles, and San Jose too, I'm going to rack up the points.
Fair enough. Yeah, absolutely. I front load on the forwards all the time. Maybe that's a rookie mistake. I don't know, Kevin. But as I said, I mentioned a couple times now that the new Philly signing of Santos I have in there and Joseph Martinez, obviously, until you see otherwise. Although I did hesitate on that. He's $11 million, first off, which is a hell of a lot of money in the fantasy draft. But, you know, this guy scored 30 goals last year, so obviously that's a lot of points. He averaged Piatti averaged more in terms of fantasy points, 7.82. And I am reluctant because I'm I was having this debate, and we're going to talk about Jozy Altidore re-signing with Toronto in the second half. But I was not debating Atlanta fans because they're impossible to debate because they're like toddlers with a cookie in their mouth at this point in time. But nonetheless, and I say that lovingly.
Hi, Atlanta fans, how you doing?
Yeah, well, I'm sure that I went on the Atlanta Reddit forum, and there was one person complaining about how on r/MLS that they always got downvoted because they were saying annoying things. And what five Atlanta fans went, well, maybe stop saying annoying things. So I think there are some people in the Atlanta fan base that understand that there's an element of anytime, and TFC experienced this when they were very popular, Seattle's experienced this when they're very popular, whenever you have this critical mass of people, there's always some very intelligent people, very thoughtful people that look at the league as a whole and have very informed opinions. But when you, the more fans you have, and Atlanta has a lot of fans, the more idiots you have, and those idiots make the most noise. That is the God honest truth.
It's like, every time you say something stupid, someone slaps you. Like, wow, every time someone slaps me all the time. Yeah, maybe stop saying something stupid. Maybe someone will stop slapping you.
The point I was making with all of this ramble is that we've seen what Almiron is doing with Newcastle. Brilliant.
Wow. Best player on the pitch for two games straight.
Yeah. So I look at Martinez, who is a poacher. And if Pippi does not do the same type of stuff, if he does not get the same service, he will not score at the same level this year. He is not a creator. He is a poacher. That is a brilliant and needed task on any soccer team. But it's different, right? I don't necessarily think without Almiron doing all the things he does that Atlanta is going to be quite as good this year. How can they be as good this year? You've seen how good he is playing for Newcastle, right? So there is a reluctance there, but he is still a brilliant poacher, and I still think it's pretty reasonable to expect him to score at least 20 again.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make a lot of sense. Let's move to my two strikers. Again, my strikers have been picked. My starting strikers have been picked with the same mentality as the rest of my team. Maximiliano Urruti, the archer, has been chosen for me. A forward, $9.5 million. He developed already great chemistry in training camp with Nacho Piatti. And on game number one, it's all about the last few weeks before. And they're playing San Jose with a lot of turnover once again. And Montreal is going to find a chemistry. Piani's going to find Urruti. He means they're going to score a goal, create one. And I think it's going to be a good choice here. As a striker, $9.5 million for Urruti. And just, you mentioned $11 million for Piatti. That's the highest you can be, is $11 million in this fantasy. And you got $100 million. And you got 11 starters, and 4 substitutes. So if you do quick math, you got 14 players, you got $100 million. So if you're smart about it, you can probably spend $11 million on a few players because majority of defenders and midfielders, especially defenders, are between 4 and 5. You got a lot of midfielders at 6, 7, and 8. So you can probably get away with getting 1, 2, if not 3 $11 million, $10.5 million, $9.5 million players in your entire lineup and still be able to have enough to at least put a bench together. But Max Urruti from Montreal is one of my forward, and my second forward is Rui Diaz from Seattle because they're facing the expansion team once again. And I think this team will get me a lot of points on day one.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I don't think Cincinnati, and we'll talk again to reiterate this, are prediction show is going to be on Friday, our annual prediction show. We will give you a breakdown of where we think each team's going to finish, and you can save this tweet, quote unquote, if you want. It's not a tweet, but you know what I mean. And throw it back in our face show. At the end of the year.
You can save Friday's show. And yeah. I'm not going to pick Kansas City this year, man. I decided that yesterday. So I got a whole.
I honestly don't know who I'm going to pick yet.
Me neither. It's too early. It's Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, I've kind of had a – I'm not going to lie. Like, there's a lot of seasons that I've had a hunch from about like, Toronto's treble year. I had a hunch TFC was going to win MLS Cup after that. And there were people that were saying, oh, they're going to have a hangover over this and that. And I saw that team, and I thought they were going to get it done. And, you know, I thought that Dallas, with the year they won the Supporters' Shield, I had picked them for the Supporters' Shield in the offseason. Again, that was a hunch that happened right from the end of the year before. So in the past, I've had a real hunch. I really don't have a hunch this year. And part of that is because, I mean, I know that the default, and when you look at the overall predictions of most people out there, I'm suspecting that
Toronto's
80% are going to pick Atlanta to win.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
And that's possible if they made the right changes. But I see too many question marks there, and I know that defending is really, really hard. Defending the MLS Cup champion is a really difficult thing because you have such a short offseason, and there is a natural letdown. I'll say this. I don't know. Maybe there's a 10% chance I will end up saying, yeah, Atlanta's probably going to win once I really sit down and look at it.
Look at all the teams. Yeah.
I'm not sure yet. I have a team that I'm 50% on that I probably am going to go to. I'll save it till Friday, but yeah, this is an interesting year for a lot of different reasons, I think.
We're just going to finish our fantasy team and take a small break and go back with some news. My bench, four players on your bench, a goalkeeper, and then a mix of defender, midfielder, and a forward. My goalkeeper is Tim Melia. And yes, I might have spent a lot of money on both my starting goalkeeper, my starting and my backup goalkeeper, but I don't plan on changing those all the time. I just plan on changing a few players every week to make it seamless and to make sure that I don't spend 5 hours a week trying to decide who my fantasy team is. So I might keep those two keepers. So that's why I put Tim Melia on the bench. And I could afford it because I don't plan on playing my bench in week one. And I have no need to. So I could just choose 4 million, 5 million players on the bench. So I have Melia from Kansas City. Defender Jadama from Portland, or Yadama from Portland. Midfielder Cerillo from Dallas. And Gashi forward for Colorado. That's my bench this weekend.
Yeah, I tend to pick very low end when we're talking about some of the defenders in the bench. We already know that I apparently have an Ottawa Fury player on the bench, so we'll leave him well enough alone. I'll probably switch him out later today. Kaplan, the backup from Columbus, because the reason I put him on the team is because once Stefan leaves, he might get more time, so I thought he'd be worthwhile keeping around at only 4.5 now before the value went up. A young New England player that doesn't get a lot of time, Ange King, which I don't even know if people know. But anyway, yeah, he's cheap. That's about it. And Josie on the bench.
Josie, and we'll talk about him in a few minutes. But that's our fantasy teams for week number one. Again, make sure you follow our league, that you join our league. The code is V5AAUWDT, or just look for Soccer Today on SPN in the MLS Fantasy Leagues, and you'll find us, join us. There'll be prizes for winner of the spring season, of the fall season. You'll hear your name on the show here. And if you're a colleague of ours, if you join our league, and let's see who's the best. Which won't be me, and won't be Dwayne. Exactly. It won't be us, but we're still going to take part and have fun. And it makes us a good conversation aspect with every fan of the show. So thanks for joining the Fantasy League Soccer Today on SBN. Make sure you just click the link in the description of the show if you're listening on podcast and on video. Thank you for listening. We're taking a short break, and we're coming back with some news.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Laramie. You can follow me on social media at Kev Larame, and you can follow Dwayne as well at 24th minute. So Jordan Hamilton scores 18 minutes in, and then it's 1-0. Toronto's got a, I wouldn't say life, or I wouldn't say hope, but at least it got the path towards hope. But Kai decided to score a second half goal, and it finished 1-1, 5-1 on aggregate. And Independiente of Panama, better known as Kai, which means Club Atletico Independiente, is moving on to the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League.
And I'm going to stick with Kai because I trip over their name all the time and I don't want to trip over their name. Real quick, Kevin, I did want to humble brag for a real quick second. We talk about how bad I am at fantasy. I do want to point out that we finished top 500 in the MLSsoccer.com World Cup bracket out of 55,000 entries. So, you know, we were almost in the money. That said, look, last night, I was just distracting from last night a little bit more.
I just want to delay it as much as possible.
Look, I don't know what to say about it, honestly. They lost the tie in the first leg. That's what it came down to. Kai scored in the second half, another small boneheaded play.
We'll get there. We're going to get to Simon in a second.
Played him in off his head. Unfortunately, the linesman from Atiba's game wasn't playing. Otherwise, maybe it gets called offside. I don't know. But I'm not going to worry too much about that other than the small mistake. That's the worrisome error on the defensive side of things. Other than that, Kai did nothing in the game. They really, like, Brown, they're up, their forward player up. He's a fast guy. He's got a lot of athleticism to him.
Yeah, someone sign him, like Oscar Brown. Like, sign him. Yeah. He's a good guy from the bench. He can probably play Major League Soccer as a sub striker anywhere in the league right now. So
if I was Toronto, I might have kidnapped him out of the bar. They could use some speed up top. But
like, what's that guy's name? Brown, come here. Yeah. Okay. Well, how much do you want? And we're gonna get you a house. What? Yeah, we're gonna get you a house. Sign here. Just sign here.
$100,000 in a house. Here you go.
Sign on the dotted line.
Here's $1 million. Go away. But now, no, it's, yeah, I'm not gonna belabor that goal too much because they were pushing forward pretty heavy at that point.
Of course.
And were pretty exposed. I mean, someone should have done better with the ball off its head, but I don't think it happens if they're not chasing four goals. So I'm not gonna worry about them scoring too much. What is worrisome is that they just couldn't break them down. And that's two games in a row that they couldn't do that. There was no real forward thrush. Now, part of that's because their creator is gone.
I was going to say, you know what was missing? Some creativity and some creation in the midfield. Vasquez and Jovinko.
Which is why it's not time to panic, because they have him coming.
Yeah, Pozuelo's going to come. We're going to get there. But you really feel the absence of Jovinko and Vasquez now, which is actually, when you think about it, it's logical, because those two transfer out were not necessarily planned in the long-term aspect, so there's no one already there to take over. So once you trade them, once you transfer them out, there's a little leeway, a time period where the next one is not here yet. There's no one already set up to take that role. So you just, you make do. And that's what it looked like for the first two games of Toronto in the CCL.
I think Jonathan Nazario was still playing very well. And you saw him up close yesterday. He was playing with a lot of confidence. But without those other high-end guys around him, he is still a support piece to them, is what I'm saying, right? And he's a very, very good one. He is TAM level, I think, but he alone is not going to break that team down. And that's essentially what it was last night. There was one play in the second half, and I was in the crowd, so I saw it right coming at me, where he tried to take three guys on, and that is not his game. But that, to me, was a product of how frustrating it was to break this team down otherwise. And they low blocked. They threw, you know, they put a bus out there, if you prefer. They were time-wasting in the fifth minute, as they should. And they got the job done, and they ended up getting the goal late. Not so much late. It allowed half the crowd to get out of there, at least.
to go back to where it was warm.
Oh, my God, it was so bad out there.
It was worse than the 2016 MLS Cup? Because that was the worst.
It wasn't even close. That was...
Because I was minus 16 in 2016, and you made minus 16, and I was, like... And I was really well-dressed. I'm from the North Pole here, right? And I was like, geez, this thing here is...
I think the difference was there were 30,000 people in the stands for that game, and the heat of the 30,000 people generate some heat themselves, and they block the wind themselves. So this, you were exposed there last night. It was not like, to be serious about it for a second, like, we always make joke, oh, winter schedule now, but if MLS is watching that game, they should take a sober thought about their idea to start this season into February, because anyone who lives in a northern climate knows this. It's warmer in December than it is in February, because your land is frozen in February. Yeah. Like, it's been 3 months of it. And
the deep freeze, there's a difference between when it gets frozen in the beginning or the deep freeze, and we're in a deep freeze now. So
yeah, it wasn't safe in there last night. Honestly, like, if you were a young kid or an older person, like, I wouldn't have taken a kid to that game. I would not have brought my grandparents. Well, they're gone, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, it's pneumonia FC. You go to the game and you come back with a pneumonia.
Yeah, and there were lots of people that just bailed on it. And, you know, part-time supporters, no, they're sensible supporters at that particular point.
Never mind supporters, sensible people that didn't want to lose a finger stayed home.
Yeah. The crowd actually wasn't that bad in the first half, all things considering. Down 4-0 in minus 17 was what the air temperature was in terms of wind chill. And I would guess, based on this, and I know a lot of people fight me in this, but I've been in that stadium for 13 years, and I know what it looks like at certain levels. I would guess there was about 10,000 in there, probably butts and seats. And that thinned out as the game went on. After half, that 10,000 was probably 7,000. And after Kai scored, it was 2,000. So, and yeah, watching people leave, it was time to go. But well, there's not much to break down in terms of the game. I thought that you know, it was nice that Jordan Hamilton got a goal. It's good for his confidence. It's good that they put him out there. It shows that maybe they're going to give him a little more trust this year. But they still need... they need Pozuelo badly.
Yeah.
And they need to figure out what the hell is happening at the back. If Samal is gone, they need to cut bait, honestly.
Okay, so let's get to Samal right now. So far, Toronto FC has conceded 5 goals in 2 games. Okay? 4 on the road, 1 at home. And out of those 5 goals, 3 are directly related to mistakes by Laurent Samal. 3 out of 5, that's 60%. Of the goals conceded so far by Toronto FC that have been directly correlated with a mistake by Laurent Simard. You hope that that's not a trend, because if that's a trend, yeah, you're going to leak goals, and they're going to be because of your center backs.
Yeah, like, there are people that are openly talking about, well, maybe we put Zavaleta back in there.
TSN talked about it during the broadcast yesterday. They're like, was this Simard signing a mistake? You should listen to Kevin. Look, Kevin told you so about a few months ago.
Look, and here's what I'll say to anyone who wants to burn everything down at TFC right now. That was a bad signing. So
if blame the guy who's gone. But no, I agree with you.
You can't blame Ali Curtis for it. This is the player that was signed by the previous management. So, you know, that's just keep that in mind before you get the torches out. But yeah, there's got to be a decision made on this very quickly, because he, in these 2 games, has not been good enough. And you can blame the fitness to a certain extent, but
he's just coming back from a regular season with Dijon. So fitness cannot be an issue there, because he's supposed to be in mid-season form, which clearly he's not.
You know, yeah, I mean, the first game is in particular. I mean, it's long gone now. That play last night was... you know, he came off his head the wrong way and played him in. Why is he's parallel to the other defender at that point too. Like, what's he doing? Like, why is he even attacking that ball?
If
he's
just not step back, like, let it bounce on more and control it. You got someone on you. Like, you know, there's a man behind you. Why would you risk it? Anyways, it's always easy after the fact to look at a play and dissect and be like, oh yeah, you should have done this, should have done that. But 3 out of 5, now it's becoming like a talking point. So, of course, we're going to look at Simon's play now with a magnifying glass and dissect every little mistake he does, because he has created that feeling already after 2 games that he's a liability.
And what people say about him, what they've always said about him, even when he was at his peak in Montreal, is that his weakness of his game is that he's over-aggressive. And it's okay if you're over-aggressive if you have the athleticism to cover up for it. And he did when he was 4 years younger.
Yeah, that's true.
And he doesn't anymore, so he needs to readjust his game to play something that makes more sense for him. But at this point in time, again, the salary's there. You can't really do it because no one's going to take him in a trade, so you're stuck with him. But you've got to make a decision and just bite the bullet. And I think they still have enough money, according to all reports and according to their own words, to sign two TAM players. I think their target are probably two wingers, but I think they need to readjust and bring a defender in.
So is Simão the 2019 version of Akeche? And the fact that Akeche might be bought off before the transfer is back on.
Yeah, well, they can buy him out, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm trying to think in terms of the Akeche's been bought out from last year or for this year already, so I think their buyout's done from this year. But yeah, if he's like this for all year, they'll buy him at the end of the year for sure. But they still got Vanderbilt as well, right? Yep. That's the other issue.
That's true. Yeah.
Their salary cap's not a big problem. It really isn't, because they have lots of TAM and GAM because of the sales. So it's fine. They can fit it in there, but it's not ideal to have these players just sitting around not doing anything at these big money, because they can become toxic in the environment, right? And I think that's why they separated Vanderbilt is that it wasn't so much that they were worried about his talent level, is that he was becoming toxic to them, so they just got rid of him outright. And Akeche was very talented.
Well, it didn't fit. His playing style.
They've been open about it. And again, this is, and I don't mean to bash Bezbatchenko. It's not like I'm having, revisionary history here. I said the same thing last year, is that it's like they got the success in 2017 and they thought, well, we can just plug and play anything in here and we don't need to worry about culture. We don't need to worry about fit anymore, because we're the mighty TFC and we can just plug these teams in and we're going to march to another title. And it didn't work at all. And now they have these holes that were created by getting rid of solid journeyman guys out there like Beta Shore, who could have still been with this team, right? And still playing a solid role there, and they wouldn't have been worrying about filling these gaps. But instead, they tried to plug and play, and it didn't work out for them. So here we are.
The mighty TFC, you said. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. All right, sorry. I had to do it. Okay, let's just quickly take a look at the rest of the scores in the CONCACAF Champions League from last night. Tigres 5, Saprissa 1. Tigres came back in that tie, and they won it on aggregate 5-2. Houston Dynamo 2 at home versus Guastatoya to win the tie as well, 3-1 on aggregate. They won both games. So those were the games last night. And tonight, Santos Laguna versus Marathon at 8 p.m. New York Red Bulls versus Atletico Pantoja at 8 as well. Monterrey versus Alianza at 10 p.m. tonight as well. Atlanta United, Herediano. Atlanta's got a lot of work to do at home. It's 1-3 on aggregate for Herediano, so Atlanta needs two goals to win the tie or more. And Toluca and Sporting Kansas City. Kansas City goes on the road with a 3-0 advantage. It's a 0-3 on aggregate right now for Toluca and Sporting Kansas City. On the news aspect, Wayne, Jozy Altidore and Toronto FC are extremely close to an agreement for a re-signing that would bring the club and Jozy to 2022.
Yeah. If you think he's healthy, if you think he can stay healthy, it's the right move. Jozy Altidore, and you can argue with this one way or the other, whether he's, I truly do believe, I am not trolling when I say this. I think when Jozy Altidore is healthy, he is, I feel, the most effective striker in the league. He has the ability, to use a hockey analogy, he's a power forward. He has the ability to out-muscle players and to create his own opportunities. He's not a pure poacher like Martinez is, so Martinez has more goals. But I would
You know how I would call Jozy Altidore? A poaching target man. Like a mix of all those two, because he's not a pure target man, he's not a pure poacher, but he's a mix of both.
Yeah, and he is incredibly effective when he's healthy. But that caveat has always been the key with him, and it's a broken record to talk about. I don't know how, there's just genetics out there with some people that they just break down. So that is a real worry. Now, the other thing to think about this, too, is that there was interest in Altidore. There was interest from Liga MX for Altidore out there. He's still 29. He could still make a move down there. And now TFC would get a transfer back, whereas as it was standing before this, they would not have, because he just would have waited the 6 months and signed a pre-contract in the summer, and that would have been a massive distraction. So now they blocked him up. So I don't think there's any mistake here. You can be a Josie Altidore fan or not if you want. There are a lot of, you know, I don't think U.S. men's national team fans are capable of a rational evaluation of Josie Altidore, to be blunt. They just aren't. they're so angry that there's they're blind.
Yeah, there's baggage there, too. Like,
They're just truly, guys, if you're listening out there, you're just blinded to it. You cannot rationally look at him anymore. I don't know why. He scored a hat trick the game before he went out. You know that, right? The idea that they weren't trying in that game in TNT is absurd. But however, and I'm it's like, as a non-fan, I can say that
it's been a year. Let's move on. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. That's how we feel every period here. Every 4 years, how we feel in Canada. It's like, well, next time.
Yeah, but in terms of an MLS level, I mean, let's take a step back from all of that international baggage and look at him as an MLS player. You cannot argue that he's not a DP. You can't. So TFC signed him to a DP contract is perfectly fine. He has now. I still don't think that he's necessarily going to be here to 2022 if he doesn't perform this year. I do believe they would sell him. And that is also a smart business move. So there's no way, in my mind, there's nothing to criticize about this. It takes the distraction of this off the table. Bradley is not the type to make a distraction, so that's the only one left to do. I do believe that when you're looking at Michael Bradley, it's got to be a TAM deal next. It really does. Is he willing to play for $1.5 million, which would be a max TAM? If they can do that, if they can agree on that, then, and he's made damn good money over the past 4 years. So there's, you know, financially they're set. It's just a matter of whether his pride and whether his long-term view is to stay here. He's got to understand on his own accord that at this point in his MLS career, he's still very good, but he's not where he was when he was 27. So he needs to adjust that thinking and accept a TAM deal, I would think. If that's the case, then hopefully they're having conversations privately and they understand that that's going to be the move at the end of the year, because he also can just walk away in the summer and it could be a distraction. But we haven't heard him say anything. So that's their next big move. You know, they've got two TAM guys, two TAM positions left. They still have the top allocation order, too. So keep an eye on that. Lots of moves to happen with TFC. This is a team that I think is probably internally talking about 2020 more than 2019.
Ooh, that's not good for the fans, but yeah.
Well, I don't think that they're thinking they're going to be like bottom of the table this year, but I don't think they're thinking they're MLS Cup champions either. With bringing that many new faces in, it is, and you know, Pozuelo, who I think is good. I think Pozuelo is better than Sebastian Giovinco is right now. I'm not saying he's better than what Sebastian Giovinco was in 2015. I'm saying that right now that he is the better player. Yeah. So this is a good piece, but he's still going to be playing 18 months straight of soccer, right? So you've got to factor all of these things in. And really, I think that, you know, this build's got to be right for the forward moving thing. And I think that really TFC just wants to survive the next month and be in touch so that they can then grow into a healthy Altidore, into Pozuelo implemented in this team, having two new pieces, whether those are dynamic wide players, which is, I think, what Vanny wants, or whether they address the Samoa issue with a defending signing and do something like that. This can be a team that grows into their season, but, you know, it would be the most... You know, if you listen back to our archives, in December, I was saying things like, I think TFC could either be, you know, a complete disaster or will be MLS Cup champions, and I don't know if there's much in between. I now am stepping back from that, because when I was saying that, I thought that Giovinco would be there, and I thought that Vasquez would be there, and right, we just didn't anticipate that back then. Yeah, this is now a team that can be mid lane, I think, and even might even want to aspire to it, because I do think that this market's going to demand that they be back on top no sooner than next year, or no later than next year.
Yeah. All right. So let's quickly touch on Pozuelo, because that's a lot of TFC. We've been talking to TFC nonstop for 25 minutes now. So Pozuelo, it's going to be done. He's going to be with TFC.
Roll watch. Roar. It's over.
Yeah. March 17th, which is the end of the regular season in Belgium. He'll be transferred to TFC, according to multiple sources. Let's remember, team in Major League Soccer can transfer in players until like May 6th or something similar to that date. So March 17th will be when, according to multiple sources, Pozuelo finally joins TFC, or at least leaves Genk on the 17th.
It's May 4th. The MLS's transfer window is absurdly long. You can transfer into May 4th.
There's a month off, and then it starts back in June.
Then you get this summer one, and it goes to, you can change your roster up to, basically 2 weeks before the playoffs for internal trades. It's September, around Labor Day, that they cut off internal transfers. But, yeah, it's ridiculous how long it is.
So, Pozuelo, it's done. We're going to see him soon. You still think he's a... I know the answer to this because I read your Twitter. But is he going to be a good choice?
I think that he's going to be a brilliant choice. I think TFC fans that are complaining about him are going to quickly forget about him, or quickly forget about their complaints. There's going to be a lot of amnesia about their opinions very soon with the TFC.
Selective memory. There's going to be some selective memory going on. Like, oh, yeah, Pozuelo. Yeah, it's a great guy. Oh, it doesn't matter.
That have never watched him already. I mean, you watch him for one game and you start imagining him, and his ability to link with a healthy Altidore is would be terrifying to a defense out there. That's not TFC's issue. TFC is going to be fine in the attack eventually.
Yeah,
because they're going to spend the money on it. It's the back that we need to worry about.
Yep, it's the back. So we'll see. I think right now Montreal's got the best Canadian defense in the league. Because it's a question mark for Vancouver too. We'll talk about this more on our prediction show on Friday. Now we're done talking about TFC for today. Let's talk about FC Cincinnati. They announced earlier today that they achieved the mark of 20,000 season tickets for their inaugural season this year at Nippert Stadium.
Good for them. I mean, good for them. This is a – look, a lot of people in North America that are outside of the MLS sort of scene will dismiss that there's no such thing as organic promotion in this league, and there's no such thing as scoreboard promotion in North America, but there is organic promotion because that's what's happening in Cincinnati. Yeah. They were nowhere on the market and nowhere on their radar 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I guess. And now they're in MLS because of these fans.
Because of the consistency. Because of the consistency of the fans of Cincinnati. We've seen Sacramento put 15,000 people multiple times, but to put over 20 consistently in the USL, in your stands, yeah, that gets people's attention, and it did. And FC Cincinnati is going to have a lot of fans at Nippert Stadium this year as well for their inaugural season, and that will be really fun. Dwayne, Canadian Women's National Team, how was the game?
What?
Did you wake up yet? Wake up. Okay. Hello? Hello?
Yeah. It's a good segue because my last thought on Cincinnati was there's going to be a lot of people in the stands. I hope they don't fall asleep because I don't think that team's going to score much. But it's what happened. The Canadian Women's National Team game today, they tied 0-0 against Iceland, in case you aren't aware. They did have something like 65% of possession. They had 16 shots. Only 5 were on target. It was the same thing as I see with this team every time they play a weaker team. Those weaker teams will play a low block, and Canada just doesn't have ideas to break them down other than to get it to Sinclair. And Sinclair just is not as quick as she was 3, 4, 5 years ago. She's still brilliant. She's a poacher in every way. She's, along with Abby, 1-2, the greatest poachers this game has ever seen. And she well-grinded way out and become the all-time leading scorer. And that's amazing for Canadian soccer. But it's also a bit of a crutch sometimes when they are deferring to her too much. They absolutely are just trying to work the ball into her, and I think that they're not getting any other ideas from elsewhere on the pitch yet. And Canada's greatest strength when it comes to the World Cup, forget about 0-0 today at the Algarve. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's a prep game for France, really. I mean, if you'd want them to grow into this and get better. But when I'm linking ahead to France, I think the game against Holland is going to be the game I'm least frightened of as a Canadian. I think that they're going to go out there and they're going to do their things that they do well. They're going to be hard to beat. Holland will have a tough time breaking them down.
And Holland's going to try to attack, and they'll leave space open, and you'll have Sinclair on the counter, and she'll bury it, you know?
Yeah. Canada plays better against better teams. They play down to their opposition all the time. So the games to worry about are the other two, the Cameroon game and the New Zealand game. They need to make sure that they can figure out how to create, because that's exactly what New Zealand's going to do. I think they have enough to get over the Africans, but in terms of New Zealand, which is a decent size that's organized, that could be a banana peel game and a half for them right there, because that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to stuff the box. They're going to hold back. They're going to defend. They're going to hope Canada gets frustrated, opens the space up for them. And that could happen. And that might be the difference between Canada going in, you know, as top of the group and going in, or going in as a third, you know, a best third placer and drawing the States in the first round, in the round of 16. Right. And that's, you know, well, they're going home if that happens. I'm sorry. I will believe they are capable of beating the United States when I actually see it.
And we'll keep more of our comments and commentary on the Canadian women's national team and the Algarve Trophy for the Two Salt, Two Soccer podcast, which will be recorded especially today, later today. Dwayne and I will record this week's Two Salt, Two Soccer podcast, which you can get access to for $2 a month on patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. Patreon's a great platform to help creators of podcast art to be able to get something for their creativity and for their work and their hard time. And you, for $2 a month, you get 4 shows a month talking about Canadian soccer and Canadian soccer only. Canadian Premier League, Canadian Women's National Team, Canadian Men's National Team, and even Canadian MLS talk. You'll find it on patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. We'll come back tomorrow with a regular show. Tomorrow, Soccer Today, we have Jonathan Tannenwald joining us tomorrow. We'll preview the weekend, of course. We'll talk about Major League Soccer. And we're probably going to touch about Brendan Rodgers going back to the Premier League, taking over for Claude Puel as a Leicester manager. So we'll talk about this tomorrow. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and as always, until next time, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.